Yikes. Which will kill you.
No, thank you.
Demons don't give a shit about locks.
A little bit grim.
Hi.
Hello.
Taylor.
Hey, Jenny.
Hey. Welcome to Miscellaneous Bullshit Amateur Hour.
Brought to you by Garbage Band and Apothecary Wine, where we have been setting up this episode for an hour.
Mm-hmm. I would like to know, because this is still weighing so heavily on my mind, that approximately 1 hour and 30 minutes ago, there was a spider on my wall, and I, being me, panicked.
I heard a pip squeak from the kitchen saying, "Taylor, will you come kill a spider?"
And Taylor runs in like Rambo in barehanded with no tools. She smacked the spider.
I saw an opportunity. I didn't know what else to hit it with. There wasn't anything just particularly not breakable around, so I smacked it.
With your hand.
Okay, let's be clear.
The hand that's still attached to your arm, by the way.
Yeah, I have not cut it off yet. But this spider was the size of a lint ball.
I super beg to differ.
I had trouble spotting it from across the room.
I did not. I knew exactly where its location was at every given moment.
Had to be like, "Jenny, where is it?
It's on the wall!" Wild.
Oh my gosh. Well, welcome to A Little Bit Grim.
Hi.
Where we're starting out with spiders, wine, and technical difficulties, as per usual.
As per usual.
This is our, what we're going to affectionately call a grab bag episode, where we have found these random, hilarious, off the wall, off the beaten path types of stories that aren't big enough to be a real episode.
But we want to talk about them.
Yeah, because they're fun.
Yeah, so we're shoving them here in our deep, dark Hermione Granger mystery bag.
Yeah, yeah, it's got a spell on it and all kinds of stuff.
Boy, does it.
So you're going to start, right?
I am going to start. Amazing. So on this day, year of our Lord 2020, I am bringing to you a spooky story,
ooh,
a stupid story, and a sticky story.
Great. I have a man being a badass story, I have a small disaster, and I have a woman acting like a fool story.
Oh, I love that. I love when women act like fools. I really relate to them in my heart and soul.
We'll see.
Oh, okay. Okay, so I'm going to start with my spooky story.
Great.
This was written by a Redditor.
Okay.
So it could be total bullshit.
Ooh, I like it.
But against professional... Yes, it's creepypasta.
Okay.
Against professional advice, I have chosen to still have faith in humanity.
Okay,
and yeah, so I choose to believe this is real. So, let me paint the scene.
All right.
A few years ago, Kim, which is a fake name that I just made up literally right now in the moment, had just gone through, like, a nasty divorce from her high school sweetheart. Her life was in ruins. It's okay.
Bummer.
Shit happens. You're gonna be just fucking fine, Kim. So her real sweet friend, Sue, had been cheering her up by taking, like, random road trips together.
I like it.
So Sue picked up Kim, and they went on a road trip to Carlsbad, New Mexico. And they found a dried up riverbed and they decided to go hiking. So they pulled over and they started walking. It was pretty obvious that they weren't the first ones to go trekking through this riverbed. There were like human footprints and canine footprints and feline footprints.
Okay.
So they're walking along and they recall starting to feel a sensation like they were being watched.
Ooh, I don't like it.
That's my favorite sensation.
Oh, that is the shit of nightmares. Like, that's how all of my bad nightmares start, is that I feel like I'm being watched.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Mine's spiders.
I mean, I have very specific, like, anxiety dreams. If you know me in real life, you know that if I dream about a tornado or if I dream about working at my place of employment in high school, hey, the galley, I have really bad anxiety.
That's so funny because all of my, like, most positive, optimistic, like, my dream symbols that I'm on the right path have to include tornadoes. That's what I it's weird.
I always see, like, tornadoes in the distance of my anxiety dreams, and I'm like, oh shit, something bad's coming. Like, it's not here, like, I'm not in the tornado.
Sure.
But I'm just, like, looking out in the, like, horizon and being like, well, fuck. Oh.
Normally my tornado dreams are, like, me trying to, like, shepherd all the people I love, like, into a safe place while I approach the tornado, and I'm like, oh, cool, a tornado. I'm like a fucking nerd.
I like it.
Thanks. Anyway, so Kim and Sue, two people that I just made up who wrote about this on Twitter.
Yeah.
Or Reddit, whatever. They're walking along, and they saw a bone sticking out of the mud. They think now that it was a spinal cord, which is fucking disgusting.
That's not okay.
No. But at the time, they thought it was, like, a beef or a pork bone, like, somebody just, like, left there for whatever fucking reason people leave bones around.
Okay.
So they're walking around. They're like, that's a little weird. Keep walking.
Suspect.
A little suspect. Yeah, if you will. And they see, like, a big rust-colored rock sticking out of the dried mud. And at this point, they start to note that, like, the feeling of being watched is increasing.
Okay.
And so just a couple steps away from that big rust-colored rock, they see a little girl's shoe sticking halfway out from the mud. So Sue takes a couple big steps and, like, is ready to, like, kick it as far as she can, when they both hear a little girl go, no, please don't. And they both freeze.
Nope.
Look at each other just to, like, you know, verify that they're not simultaneously going insane. There's not, like, a carbon monoxide leak and they're hallucinating.
Oh, God.
So they verify that they both heard the voice and they're like, ugh. So they go, like, a couple more yards and they see another bone that they know for sure is human because it's a skull.
Yikes.
So they call the Carlsbad, New Mexico non-emergency police line, and they skedaddle the fuck out of there, as you should.
Sure.
So a couple weeks later, Sue gets a call from the Carlsbad Police Department.
Okay.
And they wanted to let her know that they did, like, a thorough investigation, that rust-colored rock that they found was actually a part of a pickup truck that had gone missing. It disappeared off of the highway a few years back, and it contained a family of three, a mother, a father, and a little girl.
Of course it did.
Mm-hmm. And they had no idea what happened to this family, but they unearthed their remains in the dried bed of this river.
Yikes.
Yikes.
Spooky.
Spooky.
Nah. Was not trying to be looked at, like, looked after by a ghost child.
There are worse things to be looked after.
True, and I guess it did result in, like, them getting their remains being found and, like, buried. So I guess good for them.
Yeah.
I think.
Just, like, a little girl, like, please don't kick my shit.
Yeah. She's like, leave that alone.
Yeah. Who sees a shoe and is like, I'm gonna kick that.
Right. She's probably like, you're not my mom!
Leave my shit alone. I hate it here.
I hate you. Bah. Oh my God. Okay. That was lovely. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
So mine are probably going to be a little shorter than your, like, lovely story. Mine were all, news articles that I, read and then concised into my own words. So our first one is from NBC News. And this took place in August of 2019. And we are in St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay.
So we're at a bar in St. Louis, Missouri. I want you to picture, like, the most hole-in-the-wall bar, like that bar we went to in Chicago.
Oh, I love that bar.
Like, duct tape holding shit together. We are...
Boys Town, right?
Boys Town, yeah. So this bar in St. Louis is called Berman's Tavern.
Of course it is. It's always a tavern.
Oh, yeah. And there is security footage you can watch of this.
Oh, God.
So I watched this multiple times and just was, like, dying. So in the security video, you can see a few bar patrons are sitting. They're at the bar. Like, you can tell they're friends with the bartender. Like, they're the regulars there.
Got it.
Just having beers, that really, like, dive bar type of feeling.
Sure.
When a man walks in with a giant gun Like a giant gun.
Like a comically giant gun?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, it looked like it was an AK-47 or, like, some astronomically large gun that is not needed to be on the streets of the United States.
Literally, somebody could pistol whip me with an AK-47 and I wouldn't even know what it was.
Well, hopefully it's, like, from behind if you're getting pistol whipped by it.
Okay. I'm not entirely sure what pistol whipping is.
Yeah, sure. So, this guy with his giant gun is waving his gun around, demanding that everybody in the bar hit the floor, give him their money and any valuables that they have.
Oh, God.
And Tony Tover.
I love that name.
Regular at Berman's Tavern. Stays the fuck still. And lights a cigarette.
What a badass.
And just says no. I'm not doing that.
I don't think so. I've had a rough day, buddy.
Yeah, and you can see the, like, armed robber is just, like, he doesn't know what to do. Because he expected everybody to hit the floor.
Sure.
And this dude is like, nah, bro, I've lived a good life. I'm not doing anything that you want. So he's sitting there in the security video smoking his cigarette, and the armed robber, like, goes around the backside of the bar. He's taking all the cash out of the cash register. God. This bar patron is literally just sitting there, like, watching him.
I aspire to be him.
And I was just like, I mean, that is some ballsy shit. That is the stuff that I wish that I could say, like, oh yeah, that'd be me. No, I would be full-on panicking on the floor, probably with pee running down my leg.
Sure.
But no, this Tony Tover, listen, just, like, chilling.
Listen, he's good. He's Gucci. He doesn't have cash. He doesn't have valuables. He has nothing else going on. If this is his time, it's his time.
Yeah. And so the lovely folks at NBC, like, come to interview him.
Oh, God.
And this guy is just, like, a good old boy. Like, he's never even, like, thought about being on the news before. And they were like, you know, oh, my goodness, we can't believe that you had such courage and bravery to stand up to the bullies of the world. And he's like, nah, man, I was just doing what I thought I should do, and I wasn't going to give up my cash to some thug thinking he can come in here and wave a gun. So, that's the story.
I love Toby. I think we all actively today, as you're listening to this, should aspire to be more. Smoke your cigarette.
Be Tony. Who be gives, him.
Tony. Oh, is it Tony?
Yeah. What
is, who gives a fuck? Smoke your cigarette. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Does anything matter?
Nothing matters.
Okay, great.
So yeah, that's my first story.
Oh, I love that. I have another fun story of a fun criminal too.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Okay, so I titled this Stupid.
Mm.
So this is the story of dumb Michael Harrell is.
All right, great.
It was also August.
Great.
2019.
Wow, the dumb people.
Dumb fucking people. Something happens in August.
Out and about. It's too hot.
It's been too hot for too long.
Your brain is swelling.
Like, it's the end of April now, and it got up to 71 degrees today, and I'm like, who's a little warm in here?
I went out for a walk today in my sweatshirt.
Oh, wow. No.
I'm perpetually cold, though.
All of my windows and doors are open, and I'm, like, sweating.
This is why, this is the only struggle we have that we ride in cars together.
Climate control.
Like, I want it to be warm, and you're like, I will die.
My feet are sweating. Please let me roll down a window.
So we have the windows down and the heat on.
Also, yeah, it's a
give and take.
It's a struggle. So, Michael Harrell, on August of 2019.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That one.
Enters a bank in Cleveland, Ohio, and orders the teller to hand over the cash. He chose to write this demand down on a note instead of, like, speaking out loud, because even the most hardened criminals...
I saw this!
Did you?
Yeah.
Sometimes, listen, we all get social anxiety. Sometimes, like, speaking to somebody is difficult, okay? So he wrote it down on a note, and he passed it to her. The only issue is he wrote it on the back of a document from the Ohio Bureau of Motor Vehicles, which had his full name and address on it. The bank teller addressed him by his name.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yes. Oh, so he left with his undisclosed amount of cash.
Sure.
And the bank teller called the police and were like, yo, Michael Harrell just robbed us. Here's his address. So a couple days later, the FBI roll up and he's arrested.
Uh-huh.
And the FBI agent working the investigation at the time reported, and I quote,
great,
when you present a note that has your name and address already on it, it helps law enforcement tremendously.
They were like, thank you.
Thank you. It's an astute statement. I'm picturing this FBI agent as, like, John Munch from SVU.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, that's my stupid criminal story.
I love that. I did see that. And I just, like, I laughed because, oh my, that is some, like, last minute I'm gonna rob a bank shit. That is not, like, he left his house thinking I'm gonna rob a bank. Like, he still sat in his car and was like, I should rob this bank.
He left the BMV and went to the bank. And, like, honestly, I love me, big fan of me, but I'm, like, dumb enough that I were to, like, cook up a criminal plot, that would be the dumb shit that would get me arrested.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not great with details. That's what you're here for.
The criminal mastermind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Truly.
I'm just here for moral support.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would be the one that has, like, all, like, it... in, like, a vision board.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Like, with strings attaching.
The red string, like, well, if we do this, then they're gonna think we did this, but really, we're gonna be in Cancun!
Right, and actually, here is your color-coded timetable of where you need to be and when. So I made an Excel spreadsheet. Be on time.
Yeah. You've scheduled it a half hour ahead, because you know I'm gonna be a half an hour late.
Especially if I have to expect you to get yourself there.
Oh, yeah. There's no hope. That's why you have to pick me up every time we go anywhere.
Yep. Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. So my next story is just a, I thought that this might be like a full on disaster episode. And then I read this article and I was like, no, this is just something stupid that happened.
Oh my God.
So, two cruise ships were in the same bay, like waiting to dock.
Okay.
And this was the Carnival Glory.
And oh my God. That was a cruise ship I just got off of.
Okay. Well, it collided.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
With the Carnival Legend while trying to dock in December of 2019.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wait a second. One, I will say, I had a beautiful cruise. Thank you so much, Carnival.
Yeah.
I had to be quarantined as soon as I stepped foot off that ship.
Yep.
But these are not small.
No.
There's 11 stories on the Carnival Glory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
it's not a small ship.
There are videos of this happening from, like, other... like, people on both of the cruise ships caught it on video. People on a third ship that was also, like, waiting to dock caught it on video. And people are freaking out, like, on these videos. It's hysterical.
They think they're gonna have, like, a Titanic incident.
Yeah. Well, like, the guys that were on this, like, the third ship that was, like, clearly far enough away to not be involved in this issue was like, shit, man, it's coming this way! And, like, the other friend was like, dude, you need to calm down. It is not gonna get us.
That's you and me. I'm not gonna specify which is which.
Any given day, it could be switched. It fluctuates.
Yeah, sure.
We don't normally panic on the same day, which is, like...
we never have. We never have.
Huge friendship goals.
Yeah.
Find you a friend that panics on opposite days of you.
You just really need to synchronize those schedules, and yep. That's the key to a lasting friendship.
Absolutely. If we could pick one thing, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was very cringy to watch, because you could just see, like, the tip of this one ship. Just the tip. There was no turning it.
Oh,
like,
God.
It was just... They're slow. Like, they weren't...
oh, yeah.
So it was just, like, floating slowly.
No! Turning. Like 5 miles an hour.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Nobody was hurt. So, like, that's great. I think only 6 people reported injuries.
God, Jesus.
But, like, the damage was pretty rough. Like,
well,
it took out, like, 4 floors of the front of the Carnival Legend. Like, took it out with the nose of the other ship.
Of the Carnival Glory.
Yeah.
Well, listen, the Carnival Glory really is like a steadfast ship.
Got you from point A to point B, didn't it?
Yeah, with like copious amounts of booze.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I guess the last thing I have to say is just, ship happens.
I hate you! Literally, I can't stand you.
So.
Oh my God, ship the fuck up, Taylor.
Edit that out. No.
Oh, okay, great.
It's gonna stay.
Cool. All right.
So, that is, That is the two cruise ships that collided in Cozumel in December.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Wow. Very cool. That must have been the same cruise because we also went to Cozumel.
Yeah. It would have had to have been.
Very cool. So, yeah. Okay.
Facts.
I love that so much. My last story is also a disaster.
Wow. I swear to you, we did not plan this, guys.
No, this is just, like, what happens, and, like, it's usually annoying. But, like, in this circumstance, it's working out really well.
Right.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be a full disaster episode, but turns out it's just something really stupid.
Great.
That happened. I will say people did die.
Oh, okay.
So, let me paint the scene. I'm going to try to cut through this, like, pretty quickly. This is called the Great Boston Molasses Disaster.
Okay, I think I've heard of this. Okay. I think Karen covered this in My Favorite Murder.
Oh, did she?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
She loves a good disaster.
It is locally known as the Boston Molassacre, which is why I chose to cover this.
This episode is just going to be called Bad Puns.
Bad Puns. Yeah. Bad puns that pair well with waffles.
Yeah.
So this happened January 15th, 1919 in the North End neighborhood of Boston, Massachusetts. A large storage tank filled with 2.3 million gallons.
That's a lot.
Of syrup.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of syrup.
And it's like, molasses is not like pancakes and waffles. Like it is.
Molasses is thick. Like molasses is dummy thick.
Thick with two C's.
Thick.
Yes.
So this 2.3 million gallons of molasses, in case you're ever on Jeopardy, weighs approximately 12,000 tons. Right.
Well, that's a lot.
That's a lot. Don't I even think so.
Mom! Donut,
come here. Oh, God. Okay, so this disaster happened at the Purity Distilling Company facility. It's right off the bay. Okay. Like, the dock right there in Boston. And so basically what happened, a ship brought in a new load of molasses that had been warmed up for the viscosity to, like, be put into this giant vat. And then the weather had been frigid cold in Boston as it is.
Great. Let's cool the molasses.
Right. And then the next day it was 40 degrees, so the molasses, like, heated up.
And expanded.
And exploded.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no.
So the people who were there claim that they felt the ground shake and heard a roar like a freight train, a deep growling, and a machine gun-like sound as the rivets shot out of the tank. The Boston Globe reported that people were picked up by a rush of air and hurled many feet. They had debris hurled at them in the rush of sweet-smelling air. After the initial wave, the molasses became viscous, exacerbated by the cold temperatures outside, trapping those caught in the wave.
Oh, God.
Making it nearly impossible to rescue them.
These poor Bostonians.
I feel so sad.
You look sad.
That didn't sound authentic. And I know it didn't. I do. There were lives
lost. Respect for loss of life.
Yeah, there was like 15 people died and 120 were injured. And
that's a lot.
That's a lot of people.
But like...
But it's syrup.
Death by molasses.
Yes. I cannot think of a sweeter way to go.
Oh my god. They're all gonna stop listening.
I know. Please hang in there.
I hope you like puns.
It's not always like this. So... this is what I found most hilarious. Cleanup crews used salt water from the bay to try to, like, clean up the molasses. And they used a fireboat to try to wash away. And they used sand to absorb it. The harbor was brown with molasses until the summer. This happened in January. The cleanup in the immediate area took weeks. Several hundred people contributed to the effort. It took longer to clean the rest of Greater Boston and its suburbs because all these people, the rescue workers, the cleanup crews, the sightseers, tracked molasses through the streets, onto the subway, onto phone booths, into restaurants. The entire fucking city was sticky. This is my own personal hell.
No.
So oh.
Big reason why I don't want kids. They sticky.
Why is it sticky? Like, if I experience mystery, stickiness in public, it is like a level 4 out of 10 panic attack. Like, why is it sticky and why did I touch it?
I just got all over body goosebumps because I hate it.
My feet are sweating. Like, it's awful. It's bad stuff. I would
move out of Boston.
Some say.
So fast.
On hot summer days.
Oh, firm.
You can still smell the sweet scent of molasses wafting through the air.
Oh, man, that's a sticky situation. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Do you want to eat waffles?
I kinda.
Okay, cool. Let's go do that.
But first, I need to tell you my last story. Okay. So this is the woman acting like a fool.
Oh, I love her already.
Oh, my.
I relate to her as like a soul sister.
Okay. So Maya Autry, I believe, is 32 years old. She managed to breach the enclosure of the lions in the Bronx Zoo.
What do you mean managed?
She hopped a fence and then like hopped another fence. And I'm pretty sure she had to, like, scale a wall.
One, that's fucking athletic. I already cannot relate to her.
So, she Why? Gets into the lion enclosure, and her friend is filming her.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And our girl Maya is dancing in front of the lions. Like, there's video. And there is a lion who is baffled by her presence. Like, this,
what a snack.
King of the jungle is like, food doesn't normally come this easy.
And why is it twerking at
and
me?
It's moving. I'm used to like my steaks on a silver platter handed to me by an arm that is also connected to more food.
A lion doesn't want to be fed. A lion wants to hunt.
So her friend and good old Maya get out of the lion enclosure, and then they are like, you know what we should do? Let's go see the giraffes. So then they go into the giraffe enclosure.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Of the Bronx Zoo. They posted these videos to social media and taunted the New York Police Department.
This took a turn. This is not what I thought was going to happen.
Well, so, like, getting into an animal enclosure is not only a bad idea, it's also a misdemeanor.
I'm surprised it's not a felony.
I will tell you more.
Okay.
In my disaster story.
Okay.
Which I think is going to come out
before this.
So you'll already know.
Okay.
About zoo shit. So, she and her friend, or mostly Maya, is taunting the NYPD, saying that she just danced in front of a lion. Do they really think that she's afraid of handcuffs? Of a little bit of jail time. Like, she just, like, conquered the king of the beasts.
This sounds like somebody from Bronx.
Oh, my God. So, she finally surrendered to police in November. there were a lot of stories that I couldn't quite follow about, like, why she ended up surrendering. But one that I found was basically, like, she had a parking ticket.
Oh, God.
Or a speeding ticket. And that's how she ended up.
Petty traffic violations, they'll get you every time.
Yeah, so that's how she ended up getting caught. A spokeswoman for the Bronx Zoo told Fox News around the time of the incident that her action was a serious violation and unlawful trespass and could have resulted in serious injury or death. She was charged with 2 counts of criminal trespass at the end of the day.
What a idiot.
Yeah, like, I'm
so sorry, but you fucking idiot.
What a ding dong. Like, I'm sorry. Do you think that you're going to be able to run faster than a lion? Do you think that because it's been in an enclosure most of its life, that it's not going to chase you?
She jumped 2 fences and scaled a wall. Like, she might be able to.
I don't think so.
I don't know how fast the lions are. I'm assuming quick.
Yeah.
And quick enough to catch a gazelle. Oh, yeah, and large.
One paw and you're down.
Done.
One paw gets you, and, like, those talons get you, like, you're done.
Like, sometimes Donut will jump out from behind a corner and, like, latch onto my thigh, and that will take me down.
Yeah, so I mean, like,
I can't imagine a lion.
A lion.
A whole ass lion.
Yeah, so that is the ding-a-ling story from the Bronx Zoo.
Listen, what a wonderfully wild collection. Yeah. Of bullshit stories that don't fit anywhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope I hope you enjoyed.
I truly hope you enjoyed it. If you have a fun, kind of off-the-wall story you want us to share, email us at alittlebitgrim@gmail.com.
Facebook us at alittlebitgrim.
We're also on Instagram and Twitter.
A Little Bit Grim Pod.
Yep.
On Instagram.
Yep. And then A Little Bit Grim 1 on Twitter. Mm-hmm. So go follow us on the things. If you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, go ahead and rate us and subscribe. That is super, super helpful to us and lets us know that you're listening.
Or Spotify. You can rate us on Spotify too.
Can they rate us on Spotify?
I think so.
Or can they follow us? I don't know. Do the things.
Listen, we're older millennials.
Like, just, you know what to do.
Do the things.
We don't even have to tell you what to do.
We appreciate it. In advance. Goodbye!